home of the Suns. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Coming off the court, you hear it straight from a Suns player with Burns and Gambo. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
All right, working on getting Eric Gordon on the show. We expect he's going to be joining us here any moment. We good now?
Two big three-point shots by Eric Gordon last night. That tie brought the house down when he hit the one to tie it with 43 seconds left.
And two big thumbs up from our producer, Mitch Vareldas, because joining us right now on the Burns and Gambo show, two big three-pointers, as Gambo mentioned last night. Eric Gordon joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show in this 5 o'clock hour after the Suns' historic comeback win last night. Eric, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, Eric, I'll tell you, when you got into this league in 2008, many of us were very young men. You've played 850-plus games in this league. Have you ever been part of a comeback as big as that one last night?
No, I haven't been, we were down 21-22 with 8 minutes left and made a big turnaround like that, so... No, man, I haven't been a part of that.
Yeah, the Associated Press had a stat. I'll read it to you. Teams facing deficits of 22 points or more in the fourth quarter were 0 for 1,244. So the last 1,244 basketball games that had somebody down by 22 in the fourth quarter, they all lost. So that was a shocking comeback. A lot of us are talking about the small ball going to KD at the five. Was that, to you, was that the key to getting that thing turned around?
Yeah, for sure. And we have to utilize that because, you know, KD has the size to guard bigs. And, you know, our team, it's all about having a determination of really taking control of the game. Because it's not shocking to me that we can come back and beat teams like this, because we definitely have the offensive firepower. And we can be pesky when we're determined on defense. So but that's just where my mindset is. And that's where we just need to bring it to each game every time.
KD said last night it was a blur, and that somebody asked him, how did it happen? He's like, I don't know, man, the whole thing happened so fast. From your perspective, was it a blur? Were you able to, obviously you enjoyed it, but when you look back on it now, what was it like living through something like that?
It was a blur because we were in the moment and we were locked in. We were getting stops and it happened so fast. I mean, I think I remember at one point we hit like three or four threes right there in a row, and it was like we like 17 points in like in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah, it happened so quickly, and yeah, we were just in the moment.
To Gambo's point about the small ball lineup and the lineup that was out there for the last 5 minutes of the game, from a basketball standpoint, what is the key to making something like that work? Maybe not for big long stretches, but for the little pockets that you used it in. What's the key to making something like that work, Eric?
Well, the key to making that work from an offensive standpoint is everybody can dribble the ball and making the right plays. You have to make the right plays when you're doing small ball in defense, and you gotta want to, and you're trying to take away the big man from the other team. You know, that's why they had to sub out Sabonis a little bit last night, because they were like, man, it's hard to go small ball against us because who's going to guard KD? So it's like you're taking away something from the other team, and we have all the ball handlers and shooters in that group. So it's like, yeah, go ahead, pick your poison and see. Other team has to figure out different things of what they can do to try to slow us down.
You talked about all the three-pointers in a row. KD hit one. It made it 113-109. You hit one to make it 115-112. Then you hit another one to tie it. These three-pointers, Eric, these were wide open. I mean, I could have made a cup of coffee waiting for you to shoot that one corner three that tied it. Were you surprised at how open those three-pointers were?
No, not really, because I've been through this before, but that's what I was saying. We are very capable of doing this in the earlier parts of the game. And that should be a staple for us, because if the more we play fast, we should be generating easy opportunities like that.
How much different? Take me back to Christmas Day when you guys lost to Dallas. Very frustrating loss. I know a lot of you were frustrated. How much different of a basketball team is this just 3 or 4 weeks later?
Much different. We're still in the process of getting our chemistry together, but it's much different. Everybody's figuring out their roles, and you know, people still forget almost everybody on this team is new except for Katie, but Katie's kind of new too. He's just been here a year, and everybody else, you know, Book and Lee and Damian. I mean, a lot of these guys just, they've been here and everybody else is new. So we still need to have time together to figure this out. And, but it's really us players' mindsets to really get this thing going and flowing the right way.
Do you think going forward that small ball lineup with the five of you shooters out there, is that something you should utilize just at certain times in a game? Because there's obviously this certain matchup that unit would struggle against based on the team you're playing. So it may be very matchup oriented, correct?
Well, I think you should use that, you know, definitely at certain times, but I really do think that's going to be create a mismatch for any other team. I truly believe that.
So, like, you're playing Denver and Jokic. You think that could be a mismatch for Denver?
It can be. If we play somewhat similar style like we did last night, yeah, we might not be able to match up one-on-one all the time, but you got to throw different coverages like at Jokic. But other than that, who is he going to guard?
Right. They can't switch fast enough Jokic's on you guys guard. With your ball movement.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, it was a perfect example. Sabonis on that team, he was trying to figure out who he was going to guard, and we were trying to put him in the pick and roll so we can spread out the floor.
Yeah. Eric Gordon is our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show for just a couple of more minutes here, coming off the Suns' big win last night against the Sacramento Kings. You alluded to it a moment ago, and I want to, because we've been talking about this a lot on our show, and I kind of want to hear it from your perspective. The idea of taking more three-pointers, of being a little more free with your shots as a team, knowing that's kind of the league-wide trend. How much of an emphasis has been put on that by the coaches and the players in the last 3 weeks to make that a bigger part of your game?
Yeah, it needs to be a bigger part of our game. You know, we have too many guys on our team that can really shoot it. And, you know, you got like, what, 3-4 guys on our team shooting 40%, and we have like one of the highest shooting percentages in the league. And if you just make a ton of threes, it's more than two. So it's like, why not? We have to continue putting a lot of points up on the board.
We had you on the show a couple of times this year, and I remember first time we had you on, you talked about, you know, the reason why you went to go play in the Bahamas for the Bahama national team was to get some continuity with DeAndre going. Then obviously DeAndre gets traded. I want to ask you about playing with Grayson Allen for the first time. You know, he's been Utah, Memphis, Milwaukee. Man, watching him play every day, I was not aware that he was this good. He has been terrific for you guys. And I think he single-handedly kept you in that game last night with his terrific first half. Tell me about him. I mean, when you watch him play, does he remind you of anybody? Are you somewhat surprised at how good of a shooter he is?
Well, I didn't know he could shoot like this, but I'll tell you what, he's been a great compliment to our team, and I mean, the consistency of what he's been bringing definitely means a lot to our team. And he's been playing very well. Of course, this is his best year. And I mean, like I said, he's been a good force for us. And it's definitely much needed.
Eric, once again, congratulations on that win last night. It was so much fun to watch. Congratulations on your role in that win last night with those two huge threes. That was a really big deal. We appreciate you joining us after that game, man. Best of luck the rest of the season. We hope to talk soon.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Eric Gordon joining us here on the Arizona Sports Line, coming off the Suns' win last night against the Sacramento Kings. Again, next up for the Suns, they'll visit the New Orleans Pelicans coming up on Friday. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Gambo just asked Eric about him a moment ago. Grayson Allen, another tremendous
you can't trade the guy kind of performance for the Phoenix Suns last night. So it begs the question, forget about trading Grayson Allen. What about keeping him, extending him, long-term agreement? We'll pick Gambo's brain about that one next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
ASU men's basketball hosts UCLA in Tempe. Pregame at 6:30 tonight on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
All right, welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Beal bounces to Allen, an up fake gets Herter to fly by. Steps left, shoots a three, and hits nine threes on the night for Grayson Allen. Give him 29 points, and it's 113-99.
I think he's exceeded everybody's expectations. I've known Grayson personally for a very long time, growing up in the same high school class. So, you know, I already knew what his competitive nature was like. I knew he could shoot the shit out of it. So now it's just piecing those together.
I get it. I really do. In terms of pieces and parts that you can trade on this team, you don't have very many.
Yeah.
You don't. Grayson Allen is one of the few that you do have that you could trade if you wanted to. You know, so if you're talking about making a change, that we were just talking a couple of weeks ago about how, man, this team is basically a bunch of shooting guards. Maybe you should change the equation a little bit. Trade one of the shooting guards for more of a 3-and-D wing type or a pure point guard or something like that. Well, if that's your desire, you don't have a whole lot of avenues to do that other than Grayson Allen. And yet.
But they may have stumbled upon something last night. And the way Eric Gordon was talking, we want to play this way. We want to play like that. I was trying to get Eric Gordon to say, like, yeah, it's not really a good matchup against certain teams, and he wasn't going there.
Even the Jokic thing, right? He's like
okay, we might have a problem with guarding him, but who's he going to guard? Mm-hmm. Five of us out on a perimeter jacking up threes. Now, obviously, that is a true live or die type approach. Oh, if you're going to play with all those guards jacking up a bunch of threes and jumpers, you know, you're going to get some fast break baskets, some steals and stuff like that with the quicker hands and the quicker guys out there. You'll get some easy transition baskets. But if they want to play this way, if they want to play this way with a bunch of shooters, it seemed like Eric Gordon was like, we should play this more. Didn't you get that feeling talking to Eric Gordon?
100%.
I think we should do this more often.
The pause that he had in answering the question from you about that was one that kind of suggested he does not think this is a matchup-dependent, short spurt kind of a thing. And I certainly gave the impression that he is of the belief they should shoot more three-pointers. I mean, that was very, very clear. I think not only from a direct question, but just some of the other comments he made. So we'll see how much more of this style that we see. Grayson Allen has been their most consistent player all year. I mean, he's certainly not their best player this year. His better isn't better than Devin Booker's better or Kevin Durant's better. But he has been consistently excellent all year long. Yeah. He was not a throw-in in the DeAndre Ayton trade. But certainly if we think back to the day the Suns got Grayson Allen, it was sort of he's got this reputation. We know he can shoot. Let's see what else he can do. Let's see how he fits. He has become the best player in that trade.
Yes.
It's not even comparable. He's been the best player in that trade for any of the teams that were involved.
You know, first of all, he's never played this good in his life. He's been a good player. He's never been this good. That's what happens when you play with a bunch of stars and you get wide open three-pointers. So, you know, when you get a chance to watch, I always say this, when you get a chance to watch a guy game in and game out, you know, you get a much different feel than if you just watch him five times a year on a nationally televised game that, you know, your team's not playing. He may turn another game on, or when they're playing your team, watching him day in and day out, I am blown away by how good he is. That's why I asked Eric Gordon, like, you know, you're surprised at how good he is? He reminds you of anybody? And he even said, I didn't know he was this good.
I'm shocked as hell he's been this good.
He's shooting 48% from three-point range. And this isn't just corner threes. He's been this good.
Yeah.
These are threes from everywhere. You know, to the point where, you know, there was a report today that the Suns are exploring options, trade options, and one involved him. A national report, which I'm shooting down because they're not going to trade Grayson Allen. In fact, I would not be surprised if he keeps playing like this if they decide to re-sign him when this season's over. Now, a lot of people may say, well, how are you going to do that? You don't have any money. You're up against the apron. You can re-sign whoever you want. You're just going to pay.
The key is re-sign. You can re-sign whoever you want. You can't
sign a free agent.
Can't go sign somebody off the streets or whatever you want.
You can re-sign any of these guys you want. They're your own players.
You just have to be willing to pay the tax.
You got to be willing to pay the piper.
Yep.
You got to pay the piper. And that's
Gambo's.
Gambo always reporting something.
Sources.
Gambo knows everything.
I asked the Phoenix Suns are not interested in trading Grayson Allen, and I expect that they will look to re-sign him if he continues to play at a level like this. I would expect that they will look to re-sign him, and with no regard to the tax.
Yeah,
with no regard to what the tax is going to be 4.25%. I don't think that phases this owner.
Look, I've heard rumors that Matt Ishbia has some money. I don't know. Can you confirm that for me? I don't know.
The meals in the press room are a lot better.
I've heard.
Right, Kellen Olsen?
I've heard a rumor or two that Matt Ishbia has got some cash. He's certainly shown no hesitation in spending the money. I'll say this in defense of the report, okay? And I know you're shooting it down, and I understand you're doing your thing here. Up until last night, we all kind of were talking about this idea that the Suns have some flaws, and they still might, right? They still going forward. They still might have some very obvious flaws, whether it's a point guard or whether it's a 3-and-D wing, a more athletic 3-and-D wing who maybe is a little more physical than what they've got right now. The only reason why I don't blame the report for suggesting this is that, again, your only avenues for making a trade are Nasir Little or Grayson Allen. It's all you've got. I mean, you're not trading your veteran minimum guys. They haven't done a whole lot to establish any value in the trade market. You certainly can't or wouldn't trade any of your big three. You start going through options of guys you could trade. There's just not much available. You almost have to talk about Grayson Allen because you don't have any other choice. You don't have anybody else that you could offer up in a trade.
I'm not seeing it. I don't expect Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen is not on the trade block. And like I said, I mean, don't be surprised if they, and you might say, but if they resign him and they got to pay him 15 to 20 million, how much is that going to cost on top? Probably another 60, like whatever you pay him, plus another 50 or 60 in tax.
But that's Matt money.
That's not cap money.
No. That's Matt. There's a difference here. Matt money is Matt money. And, you know, the guy's not an endless wellspring of cash, but he's got, you know, Matt money and cap money are very different. Cap, you can re-sign him to whatever you want and bring him back.
You can pay him 15 to 20 million a year.
Because here's the thing. The way you're going to build this team next offseason is no different than the way you built it this year. Veteran minimum, one-year guys.
But hold on. KD, Book, Beal, okay. Say you've got Nurkic, Grayson Allen. That's five. You've got five solid. Now you go into playoffs. You want to have a rotation of like, you know, eight guys that you can count on. Those guys, I think, are guys that you can probably 6, 7, and 8. You could probably, you know, figure out ways to get those guys if you lose a bunch of the veteran minimum guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice to have not only the big three, but then know you have another guy like Grayson Allen that's a high-level player.
Yeah, but that's my point, is that the guys that you'd be signing beyond that, re-signing Grayson Allen to a contract doesn't prohibit you from signing your seventh best player to a veteran's minimum contract. You still have that avenue.
You could do that, yeah.
Your eighth best player to a veteran's minimum contract. You still can do that. We'll see. I believe you when you say about the trade deadline that he's not on the market, but for them to re-sign him, he's got to play like this the whole year. And if he does that, I don't think you'll find anybody complaining about them re-signing him at all. When we come back, so nice, we're going to do it twice. We want to hear from you. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. Open calls part two here on the Burns and Gambo show. Was last night the turning point for the Phoenix Suns, or was last night a blip? And that's a really generalized question, but we like the conversation that kind of sprouts from it. So we're asking you, 602-260-9870. We hear from you next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo, open phones.
602-260-9870.
Is it going to be a different song every time?
I think I'm tapped out.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I like it.
I like how you're mixing up the songs.
Yeah, is this Lady Gaga?
It's Lady Gaga.
There you go.
Yes, it is.
By the way, have you heard her singing on the new Rolling Stones song?
No.
Oh, boy, it's good. It's really good. All right, open phone, 602-260-9870.
I just thought that the Rolling Stones have a new song. They're all in their 80s.
Yeah, they just released a new album called Hackney Diamonds. It's actually very, very good. And they got Lady Gaga singing on one. And Stevie Wonder is playing the keyboards on the same song,
How cool.
Oh, it's really cool. It's a really good song. But that is not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is to hear from you. A game like last night with the Suns in the fourth quarter comeback, it's not enough to just enjoy the win for what it is. And believe me, we had the same thought, too. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is it a launching point? Is it is this the start of the change of the Phoenix Suns? Has that already happened? Or was it just a blip? Was it a nice fourth quarter and it doesn't mean anything? We really wanted to hear from you on this one, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to start with Daniel. He's first up here from Phoenix, and he joins us on the Burns and Gambo Show. Happy Wednesday to you, Daniel. What's on your mind?
Happy Wednesday to you guys, man. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you guys' show every single day on my way home from work.
Thank you. Appreciate that greatly.
For me,
thank you.
I appreciate that, man. So I think for me, I don't think it was, because what if Monk hit that three-pointer at the end of the game? Would we be having the same conversation?
No.
Right? So for myself, what I see and what we're missing, and when we're in that flow, we're doing great. When we had Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, we had a flow where people were shooting, making moves towards the baskets, and the ball was moving inside out. Where I see that we get stagnant, and nobody wants to say it, Booker, maybe he still might be learning point guard, but he has an issue, because there's some times where he would drive, and everybody knows that he likes that mid-range shot by the free throw line, that he could have passed that ball back out to the three-point shooters and let him shoot that ball. And he gets stagnant when he's the point guard. And when he gets stagnant, it messes up the flow of the team. I think that nobody wants to say it, but I think we need to move him off a point a little bit, or maybe he needs to learn some more. But if he hit that three last night, would we be having the same conversation? I think we need to move the ball more. People need to shoot at the basket and then pass it out for the three.
Yeah.
We get stagnant too many times where everybody's standing around the three-point line waiting for the ball.
Gotcha.
Those are my thoughts. Go Suns. Thank you guys so much. God bless.
All right. Yeah, God bless you too. I think a couple of things here. I wanted to jump in on that.
Clearly.
I know. I just thought he was finished like four times. I thought he was finished.
I
thought he was done.
Hey, man.
Booker had four assists and no turnovers, and he didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Four assists, no turnovers, didn't score a point. So you can say what you want, but the ball movement was fantastic. He wasn't forcing shots. He had the ball in his hand, obviously. Booker had four assists against zero turnovers during that fourth quarter when he came back into the game. He came back into the game with 9 minutes and 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And I thought he actually, for a guy that didn't score any baskets, I thought he actually played pretty well.
There was, I think, three consecutive baskets that, at the very beginning of that run, were assisted by Devin Booker. Bang, bang, bang. So I'm still willing to wait this out with Devin Booker as the point guard a little bit longer, because I do think there can be something there, but we appreciate the call as always. Paul in Avondale is next up here on Burns and Gamble. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Paul?
So just to tie it back to what you guys are saying, I'm hoping this is the turning point. We look back, at the end of the season, and we look at, this game being the point that, everything changed. But, you look at the Laker game, I had the same mindset after that game. You look at the Miami game. I know both of those teams were down players, but, I looked at both of those games as turning points as well. So I'm just hoping, and I was, I'm guilty. I was one of the people who, in the fourth quarter, I turned off the game and I threw some Suits on, and halfway through the episode of Suits, I was surprised I didn't receive a notification that the game was over, that the Kings were up and that they won the game. And so when I actually looked at my phone and the notifications, I was upset. Me and my wife together were like, I can't believe we didn't finish watching the game. It was definitely a great comeback. But, at the end of the day, man, I'm just hoping that this is the game that, it's just some synergy is needed. And, with everyone now healthy and playing together, we were starting to get a little personality, Bradley Beal, he's crucial out there, and Yeah, let's go Suns, man.
Wait, just a real quick question before I let you go. Is Suits worth it? Everyone seems to be watching that right now on Netflix. That seems to be like the big flavor of the week right now.
Totally, man. You're definitely do it on a weekend because you're going to realize next thing you know, you're, you know, two seasons in. So
good to know.
Three seasons in.
Thanks for the phone call, Paul. We appreciate it. I mean, look, he's not wrong. The Miami game, I kind of thought that was the launching pad. The Orlando game, I kind of thought that was the launching pad. But if you hit zoom out, both of those games are part of this broader 8-3 record that they've got in their last 11 games. Maybe we're in the midst of it, and you kind of have to look back at it to see that the turnaround is already underway.
And the other thing is that they may have actually stumbled upon something yesterday with that lineup that they didn't stumble upon in a previous game.
Harold and Surprise is next up here on Burns and Gamble. Hi, Harold.
How you doing?
Good, Harold.
I just have one thing to clear up. A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday, I was talking to Tim Ring, and I said that I think that Booker is the Rodney Dangerfield of basketball because he never gets any respect. Friday night, Tom Chambers is on, and he says that Bull Bull gets no respect. He's Rodney Dangerfield. So I use my line, but Bull Bull, who gets he gets respect. If Booker doesn't get respect, that means something.
Interesting. Anyhow, because I told my wife about Rodney Dangerfield a few weeks ago. She didn't know who he was.
I don't think it's going to be, I'm hoping that this has something to do with it, but they just have been playing terrible defense. As they come down, it's so hard for them because the other team keeps scoring. I mean, they have no defense, and it gets very frustrating because you get a basket, and 10 seconds later, they get either a three-pointer or they tie up your two-pointer. And it's very frustrating for the team.
I think, look, from a defensive standpoint, that they still have a long, long, long way to go. Long way to go, right?
Yeah, that like
long.
Like last night at work, they got a lot of stops, but that's not their norm. They're not a good defensive basketball team.
It worked for about 5 minutes.
That's all it needed to work for.
I mean, that's all it needed to work for. But for the other 42 minutes of that basketball game, defensively, that was a mess. And apparently we're having a broadcasting argument now over who coined the phrase no respect.
Yes. Was it Tom Chambers or Harold?
I don't know. Robert in Apache Junction. Next up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not a super duper basketball fan. I follow most of the games. I listen on the radio. I listen to half the game last night. And I don't know if you can follow this. I just have an interesting analogy about being Frank Vogel is like the defensive basketball coach guru. And in the fourth quarter, it seemed like it was just breakout time. All the smalls, jack-up threes, jump shots. And that doesn't sound like a real super defensive game. And I'm wondering if what they did in the fourth quarter will change Frank Vogel's coaching style, maybe a little more toward the style that they came back from with that 22 points. And how I apply that to me is I have a tennis and a table tennis background, and after 30 years, what was supposed to work with the normal common grips, it's only the last couple of years I adopted I don't know if people out there understand table tennis, but it's a penhold grip, and you grip the racket paddle like you're holding chopsticks, and I was dumbfounded. I go, that's not the way I want to play, but I'm winning. You get that analogy?
They went to that lineup because they were down by 22 points. They didn't go to that lineup because they wanted to get stops. They went to that lineup because they wanted to shoot threes. And they got 7 3-pointers out of that lineup. So it wasn't to get stops. It was to score a lot of points. So it worked. It definitely worked.
I don't get that analogy because I'm a huge table tennis fan, Lauren. I got that analogy because I understand the idea of doing something for 20 years and trying something a little different that you think there's no way in hell this can work. And you realize, wow, this works really, really well.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at table tennis.
I'm actually pretty good at it. I like table tennis.
Gee, what a shock that you would say you're pretty good at
it. I'm pretty good at it.
You admitting you're not good at something is...
I'm not good at basketball.
Okay.
Yes.
I stand correct.
I'm a 5'10 Italian. We were never good at basketball.
I'm not like that. I'm humble.
I'm not good at basketball.
You're blaming it on your heritage. All right. I got that. When we come, thank you for the phone calls. We appreciate it. When we come back, 3 important wins the Suns got in their last 3 games. The road ahead,
The road ahead is going to decide an awful lot about this basketball team, and we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening, and they are brought to you by Global Credit Union, 12 branches to serve you. Find the one nearest you or become a member today by going to globalcu.org. Gambo, we got college basketball on tonight. Got a doubleheader of sorts, if you will.
Man, it's time for U of A to start putting some wins together. Man, I'm surprised at some of these losses.
Yeah,
Washington State, Stanford.
We sort of collectively as a show behind your back, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We're kind of wondering if you've been avoiding the U of A basketball topic in general because...
Well, I was very upset with those. They were number one in the country.
Yeah.
They lost it, you know...
Four and four since.
Right. I mean, you could... They lost some tough... They lost to Purdue basically at Purdue. That was like a home game for Purdue. No love lost there. But losing to Stanford and losing to Washington State. Like, come on here. Like... I can't lose those games.
I wish the camera were on Lauren right now. She's doing the blah, blah, blah thing with her.
Hot garbage.
Sorry, ass response.
Shut up, Jarrett!
Our defense is a little tragic right now.
Yes, there is no excuse to losing to Washington State. There's right. no excuse to losing to Stanford. Although I'll continue to say that Florida Atlantic game they played over the holiday break.
That's a good
was
team.
One of the best college basketball games I've seen in a long time. I had a lot of fun watching that game. Anyway, U of A tonight, they're at home taking on USC. And of course, I don't mean to ignore the hometown team. We just happen to start with U of A because of your love for them. ASU is taking on UCLA tonight. That game starts at 7 o'clock. You'll hear it here on Arizona Sports
TV. We are watching a new Netflix show. My wife started one the other day.
Okay, what you got?
I don't know the name of it.
Is it called Suits? Like one of our colors?
No, it's everybody under the age of 22 dies in this town. Everybody under the age of 22 is dead.
Lauren looks intrigued.
Kids are running everything.
I think I saw this show.
Wait, I'm blanking
on the name. Is it older? Like maybe 3 or 4 years?
Everybody older than 22 or younger than 22?
If you're 22 or older, you die.
Okay.
Everybody, but if you're not 22, you're alive. But everybody that's age 22 gets...
Between?
I don't know. I don't know the name of it. That might sound right.
It's called Between.
There's a town. A mysterious disease kills every resident over 22 years old. Yeah. Survivors of a town must fend for themselves in the government court, etc.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
This Google thing, I don't know if you've heard of it.
I am terrible at remembering the names of TV shows.
Don't go there, Mitch. Don't make us feel like old guys in
here. No, it's not.
Don't do it.
Everyone older than 22 dies. I even spelled than wrong, and it still found the correct answer.
I would have Googled it myself, but that's, you know, you guys.
Okay, I'm going to try one. TV show about a plane that has to avoid the sun. That was a really good show. Let me see if it comes up with it. Yes, there it is. Into the Night. That's one of my favorite Netflix shows.
Google's awesome.
Into the Night.
Google's incredible.
There you go.
You know that moment when you're binging a show and there's like an episode where it really like gets its claws in you and you realize, oh,
man. You're going to stay up till 2 a.m. to watch the next 4 episodes?
I hit that this past weekend with the show I'm watching on Apple Plus called For All Mankind.
For All Mankind.
I've told you about this one before. It's you like that show about the reimagining of the world if we lost World War II?
Yes.
This is a reimagining of the world if the Soviets beat us to the moon back in the 60s and like what life might have been like.
If the Soviets had won.
If the Soviets got to the moon first, basically.
I don't think, in my world, I don't think anything would have changed. What makes a difference?
What do we gain
by going to the moon first?
Well, like if the moon became more of like a military race as part of the Cold War with the Soviets as opposed to just like a scientific endeavor. Anyway, like episode 6 of season 1, they've like 4 seasons now, so I'm just starting. Episode 6 or 7 of season 1, there was like a little twisty thing that happened, and it just like, yep, just got its claws right in me.
Hook, line, and sinker.
All I'm thinking about is the next time I get to watch an episode of For All Mankind.
Well, there you go. Maybe tonight.
I'm kind of obsessed with
maybe
it.
Maybe tonight.
So my new thing. Anyway, well, I got ASU basketball to watch tonight. Let's see how they do against the Bruins. We got stuff to watch tonight.
All right. Arizona sports. Breaking news.
Ooh, hold on. Can I guess? I don't know.
Is it D-backs related?
It is not D-backs related.
It's coach.
It's coach
related. It's coach in the NFL.
Okay.
Harbaugh.
It's
the Dallas Cowboys have fired Mike McCarthy.
As a matter of fact, no, they are not. Dallas is not making a head coach change. And Mike McCarthy is returning for the 2024 season per Adam Schefter.
That's great. That's great.
You brought it on yourself, Dallas.
Out in the first round again next year.
You brought it on yourself.
I love it. I love it.
Congratulations,
what's the money line? What's the money line on Dallas not advancing past the first round next year? I'm going to put some money on it.
Great.
I don't bet.
I already look forward to next year's wild card round when they show me that close-up of Jerry Jones in the press box slamming his fist on the ground.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys lose in the first round
12
again.
Wins, fantastic. First round ouster. Who's going to beat him next year in the first round? Who do you got? Maybe it'll be the Cardinals.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the Cardinals.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
Does Dan Quinn stay this time?
I don't know. His stock.
There's a lot of jobs out there.
He's got four interviews this week.
No, he's not going to stay.
For reports,
There's a talk that his stock has taken
Harbaugh to the Chargers, Belichick to the Falcons. I think Antonio Pierce stays with the Raiders. Vrabel's going to get a job. He's going to get a job.
Yeah, he'll get a job.
Who are the Seahawks going to hire?
Vrabel.
See, I thought Vrabel to Seattle.
I thought Vrabel was going to Washington. Not because I read anything. That was just kind of my own connecting the dots. I had Vrabel to Washington, Quinn to Seattle, Harbaugh to the Chargers. Not sure who goes to Carolina. Not sure who goes Belichick to Atlanta. That's the thing, though. If I were a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'd be furious right now.
Right.
You've got the best coach in the history of the National Football League, and he's just sitting there. He's unemployed. You've got a team built to win a championship right now. Let's not overthink this. Let's not overcomplicate this. You got Bill Belichick. He's sitting there. You're the Dallas Cowboys. You haven't won a championship in 25 years. What the hell? Roll the dice. Take a chance. One of the most successful seasons the Dallas Cowboys had in the last 25 years was when they hired who? Bill Parcells. Right?
They didn't win a Super Bowl with him.
They didn't, but he turned that organization around and got them back to that kind of level of respectability.
Yeah.
Why are we overthinking this if we're Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys? I'm glad they're not. I think if they hire Bill Belichick, that's a team that can win a Super Bowl almost immediately.
Do you believe in Dak Prescott as a quarterback to go win you a Super Bowl?
No, but I think that Bill Belichick is the kind of coach who could win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as his quarterback.
Okay.
I think he's good enough. All right. We'll talk more about the Sun schedule tomorrow. We're out of time. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gambo
Show. Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.